From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Here we are, Confused Room, and ready to do a speakeasy on today's episode. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. If you have a space that you'd like some advice on, what do they do?
Send it to us either through email or Facebook, and we'll get you at least two ideas and hopefully something sparks your interest or imagination.
Yeah. Puts you in a direction of maybe where you want to go with your space. You can do it right on our website, confusedroom.com. You can load your picture up there. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything special. Don't worry about staging your room for us. Just give us the raw shot.
Right.
Just the shot without makeup. Just
have you seen how bad some of the real estate pictures are?
Oh, God, they're horrible.
And it's like, if they, that is the sweatpants to a first date is what that is.
Yeah.
So those are the pictures we want because they make the greatest before and after.
They really do. I mean, I don't want pictures that look, it's a lovely room to begin with, but no.
No.
And hopefully if you have a lovely room to begin with, you're not needing any advice. But just whatever you got a room even filled with boxes or something, don't worry about being judged on your space, because I think that's a reservation for a lot of folks of, I'm kind of afraid to show this space. You know, it's like, no, send it to us and we will, and you don't have to, we won't say what your name is or anything. You won't be judged. Judgment, judgment free room zone. You send it to us and we will, we'll give you some advice, some ideas on your space. And you can hate them too. You're welcome to hate them.
There's no requirement that you must do it and then send pictures back to prove that you did it.
No, just send it through our website, confusedroom.com or on our Facebook page. And, we will, put it on a future episode, hopefully. And, give you some advice. It's free, and there's no catch. There's no, and now we're going to put you on this list and make you join our religion of some sort that we've started one here in the house. It's Tonyology, and it's kidding, completely kidding.
Daily life's like one step away from that anyway.
You'll start getting mailers, and we'll follow you around. But please do send it in, and we'd love to give some advice on a future room. Today, it's the speakeasy. We talked about this on Monday's episode a little bit. This is the space that needs some help, that's a bit confused. It's a basement room. It's probably supposed to be originally a bedroom, but I can see, you know, like maybe there wasn't a whole lot of rec space down there. And they said, okay, well, let's use one of these bedrooms for kind of our rec fun space. And the theme was to be speakeasy. And if you're seeing this, you see what I'm talking about. But if you're listening, there's basically a bar shoved in here, a pool table, a pool cue holder, bar stools, a globe, a corner table of some sort. I'm not sure if it's like a media player or something.
That looks like a mini fridge.
Okay, mini fridge over there. And then I can see on the closer area to us, looks like there's a sofa in there. There's just too much stuff going on. And I mean, there clearly is enough room to play pool in here. I'll give them that. It's not like the Seinfeld where it's George's dad trying to play pool in a very tiny space. Did you ever see that one?
No.
And they keep like breaking through the walls and it's an utter mess. So it's a good room for the pool table. But if that's what you want in here, you want a speakeasy feel with a pool table. And that's really kind of the request. We probably got to make some concessions to make this doable.
I think so. And I get that this is probably a space, a spare bedroom that was set aside. This is the grown-up space. No kids allowed.
Yep.
So I get that. And I think that we can do this to where it's a space where it's also something where you want to bring other grown-ups to it, not just, this is where I hide when the kids have driven me nuts.
Exactly. And, you know, the one thing that I think it really has going for it is the structure itself, the space itself. It's a nice wide room. It's a fairly big bedroom space. What I like about it is the ceiling and the planks that are on there. And it's like a tongue and groove pattern. And that will fit this theme well.
Sure.
And what you're trying to do. So there's not a whole lot that needs to be done up there. In fact, that's a lot of work on its own. If you were just going to like add that to the space, I like that it's already there and that can be worked with and can be used to really, kind of spruce up, this space. So, on today's episode, I think I'm going to have, how about you go first?
I will go first
and share your design of how you would redo this room to give it more of a true speakeasy feel. Okay. So let's jump into that.
I think the first thing that you need to do is you have to make it dark and kind of masculine feeling, yet have some elegant touches thrown in. So one of the first things I did, I left the paneling on the walls that's painted blue, but I had it painted a dark charcoal gray and then added a wainscoting around it in a dark wood tone. I covered up the ceiling with a tin tile look product so that it kind of has that antique-y feel. Added a chandelier over the pull table, which I repositioned into just kind of one half of the room, because right now it was sitting just square in the middle. I did add a bar back to the room with lighting and built-in shelves, but it's still fairly small and it's tucked away in the corner, so it's not over demanding in the room. Added some rugs and a leather chair to kind of soften the sounds, and I put floor-to-ceiling red drapes over where the window is, but in a much wider span, so it kind of had that, you know, velvet curtain feel. Mm-hmm. Added some mirrors to kind of reflect the light and make it easier to see what's going on around the room when it is dark, but not adding any additional light to the room.
Sure. So you took the element that I said I loved and you changed it.
You totally just messed me up before you showed my room. You're like, oh, the ceiling.
Well, on mine, I loved it. But that's the good thing about having two different opinions and two different ideas on the room is, and it doesn't always have to be the same.
I wanted the wood elements down more lower.
Okay.
But I didn't want the planks to compete with the paneling, which I kept on the walls.
Sure. And I really like what you did. And I really like that ceiling look. I think it really looks nice. I just think it's funny where I'm just like, and I love the ceiling. And it's different. Oop. And I'm already rolling mine, and I don't mean to roll mine already. So tell me, what is the product you use? What is that on the ceiling exactly?
It looks like tin tile, but it's the plastic.
Okay. So you can get that pretty much at any,
right,
you know, big right box store or order it special. Yeah, I do. I love that look, and I've used it on a couple things the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And that is a really fun look. I like it on walls too. I think it can be really neat.
And I kind of went with a little bit of the retro Hollywood, you know, mm-hmm, instead of adding neon, I added those two bar lights, and they're actually vanities, like you would see builder grade vanity lights.
Yeah.
They have the big round bulbs, but
yeah,
I turned them vertically and put them on both ends of the shelf.
And it works there.
Yeah. And it's a really inexpensive way to kind of, you know, draw some attention to that. I would have put Edison bulbs in it, but that was not an option on the
sure
software.
You know, what's interesting is that's one of those things where when we're replacing things, when we're updating things and working on new projects, where sometimes I'll have a fixture or something, I'm going, should I throw this out? Should I hold on to it? And there's a lot of times where it's like, yeah, I can't really imagine what I'd use this for. But that right there is a good example of why you should hoard everything that you ever did take out of your house and never get rid of it ever again.
We had one of those that was only three bulbs,
yeah,
and we took it out of one of our bathrooms. But the problem was it was an old one,
yeah,
so it got hot.
I used to hold on to a lot of things, just like, oh, maybe I can find a use for it. I've kind of put a new rule in place for that, where if I really know, no, this is not going to be, I've gotten very good about that. But things that I do kind of feel that question about, where I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm doing a project down the road here, I know, that mm-hmm is going to be in this vein. There may be a possibility for it. I'm going to hold on to it either A, till I get to that project, or B, like a 6-month rule of like, hold on to it. After 6 months, if I've not used it, I'm getting rid of it.
Okay.
And I think that's a good safe bet to do with something. So there has been several things, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but over time where it's like, if I still had that, that would have worked perfectly for this. But just the thought hadn't crossed my mind at that moment of using it.
It's good news that you can't remember what they are, because that means you aren't missing them.
No, I'm not. I know there's been those moments where it's like, oh, that would have worked good. It's usually nothing like a major investment or anything. It's like a couple bucks here or there. But it's like, oh, those little things. I like to be able to repurpose things. And sometimes you don't always realize what you're going to be able to repurpose at the exact moment. I'm not saying hoard your stuff. I'm just saying, just think about how you could maybe use it. And oftentimes it's not even in its current state. It's more so, mm-hmm. how are you going to reinvent it? How are you going to paint it? How are you going to do whatever to it?
And I really can't talk because I'm the one that brings stuff home. And it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to use it, but I love it. And it'll sit in our garage for a year till we finally figure out exactly how it was meant to be used.
Yeah.
Like two mantles and a windmill tail. So.
Two mantles and a windmill tail.
It's like two turntables and a microphone.
That's, you know, that's a great name for a show. The thing is, no one would know what the hell it is. They'd be like, what? And you can never search it. And unfortunately, we're in a world where you have to like search things by mm-hmm. themed title. So the more creative your name half the time, the less it will be found. But I like that. I like that a lot. So that's your speakeasy version of the basement. All right, let's jump over to what I did here with the speakeasy. And for my design, I went with a mosaic tile floor like you'd find in a luxurious hotel of the 1920s. They sell things like this at Home Depot that are fairly easy to put in, not as complex as it looks. Added a brick accent wall with a classic chalkboard-looking speakeasy sign. Instead of a full bar, because I didn't think I could fit one in the space without it feeling too crowded, I went with a brown mustard-colored liquor cabinet with distressed paint and used that for displaying the bottles and also as a buffet. I placed two classic lounge chairs on each side of the cabinet and accented the walls with lantern globes to really kind of give the room that cavern-esque type feel. I put a circular iron chandelier over the pool table, placed window mirrors around that space, and covered them with brown mustard-colored brown, yellow, mustard-colored curtains of the era. In the end, it really kind of has a luxurious, fun feel without being too overcrowded.
Okay, can I just say you win?
You like it?
I love that.
You like it?
I love that.
I really like the mirrors. I like the look of the mirrors that are in there. And you really don't see them fully because they're hidden by the curtains. But as I kept looking at speakeasy things and trying to get inspiration and ideas, there's curtains all the time in these places.
Well, sure, because they didn't want anybody looking in seeing they were drinking.
Well, and they're underground, too. So there really wasn't. It was giving the illusion of being upstairs while not. So I thought, well, what better way to do that than using, aged glass mirrors that look like windows and putting curtains around them. And I kept seeing time and time again this yellow feel, this burnt. It's like your vest.
It's like a mustard yellow. Not a French's mustard yellow, but like a Dijon mustard yellow.
Yeah. I mean, and it really, I had the buffet there being kind of a bluish color, almost like the pool table. But then like, no, the yellow will tie in better with the curtains. And the curtains, I just thought really felt like the old look of the speakeasies. And a lot of times the curtains would actually be covering mm-hmm. booths for sitting.
Uh-huh.
You could almost like create like a private sitting space. And I did play around with the idea of trying to get a booth into this room. But again, I said I felt I couldn't get a bar in there accurately or adequately without it getting too crowded. And I just thought, nah, what's the next best thing I can do? And so I went with the window covering idea. But a lot of the old speakeasies, they had those neat booths where you can close your curtain. You feel like you're in your own little room.
Sure.
And it's just a neat feel to it. So that's really what I did. And the ceiling, I painted the ceiling that I've been talking about a blackish color rather than kind of an ashy black, rather than just the exposed wood color, because there's a lot of blacks and whites in this room. But there's depth to it with the colors. This is a room I told you all week, and like, I'm really having trouble with it. I'm not feeling like I'm liking it. But the last day, I'm like, boom, got it.
Yeah, this was a home run. And I have to say, this is one of my favorite designs that you've ever done. And I have not seen this design mm-hmm. before the show. So I'm just kind of sitting here thinking, damn. It's like, where can we do that?
I learned my skills from you, Jenny.
I think you are exceeding my skills. I really like your take on this. And I am really surprised at how some of these things I would have never thought to use, and they work perfectly.
The tile on the floor there, there's a lot of ways of doing that, I think. There are literally tiles that have the design already into it. You could buy this thing in squares if you want to, and they'll be the easiest way of doing it. But I'm sure there's probably also, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a mesh tile that, you know, is on a mosaic tile where you could then grout it in, correct?
Yes. And another more, you know, cost-effective option, except you'd have to probably have it installed, is they are now making roll vinyl that has patterns like this.
Oh, really? Okay. So that'd be another way of achieving this look.
Right. It's designed to look like the cement or concrete tiles.
It's cement.
Cement.
I'm teasing you.
Cement tiles that Worsh. You see I don't say that.
I know you don't.
That you see everywhere.
Yeah.
I got no words now.
Like the cement tiles that you see. What do you mean?
Well, like all over the TV, HGTV and stuff. When they're doing bathrooms and you see a large scale pattern floor out of tile, those are the cement tiles.
Okay.
They're also now being made out of porcelain and ceramic, so they're fitting every type of budget, but that's what this would fall into.
Okay. Here's an interesting little factoid of the era that this is trying to emulate. A lot of us, I think, we think, it should be a tile. It should be a porcelain tile. It should be this tile to be really super accurate of being elegant and high end of the time. But in reality, vinyl.
Actually, linoleum.
Linoleum, yeah.
Yes.
Linoleum was the product of the day.
Right.
That was like, ooh, wow, look at this. And people were getting rid of
Marble
and wood and everything and going with that because it was like, ooh, this is the new hot product.
Right.
It's so interesting how, you know, I mean, history will, you know, it kind of gets clouded out as if you never lived that era, which none of us did. But it's just funny to think, really? Linoleum.
There are design houses that specialize in linoleum or, you know, manufacturers of linoleum are starting to see an uptick in popularity because people that buy older homes, they're wanting to take them back to original type finishings. Mm-hmm. So they're going back to linoleum that would have been in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see that is now the preferred product choice once again. But I really appreciate the fact that they are going back to something that was actually there, not just, well, let's make it work for today.
Sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they had to rip out half the floors in the Titanic because it was too heavy with the marble.
It was not too heavy, and I think they actually stopped the order before it was installed.
Okay.
But it was marble floors, and they decided, no, it had to be the new, latest, greatest buzz. Everything everybody wanted was linoleum. Mm-hmm. So most of the floors in that place where linoleum.
Yeah. And that's not what you think of when you see it. It's interesting too, because when we go on the, here in Branson, there's the Titanic Museum and there's a grand staircase and you can literally walk up it and it's linoleum flooring. Mm-hmm. And I remember bringing that up to whoever was working there or the ghost that was following us around that time.
No, it was an employee.
And I said, is this, you know, the flooring, is this what it would have been? Or is this just kind of put in here for high traffic because it's a museum? I was like, no. And that's how they explained it. It was actually, this is the type of flooring that they used on the ship because it was the thing of the day. And a lot of people are surprised by this fact.
Imagine how much faster it would have sank had it had all that marble.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Although, not trying to be morbid.
Just no.
In reality. You know, it sank fast anyway.
Its sister ship, the Olympic, had more tile in it, and the Titanic did have tiles in it as well, and we actually have one from the Olympic.
Yeah.
I should bring that into the show sometime because it fits in with what we talk about.
Yeah.
And I bought it for super cheap one time at an auction, and it's a floor tile from the Olympic,
and it's authenticated, so it's not
real.
You know, you bought a piece of tile from the warehouse and somebody said it was from the Olympic.
It was, I believe it was sitting in a warehouse in England for a long time and they were clearing out all their stuff. And I always wanted something from that era of those ships. And I found a floor tile, and it matches up to everything, and it's authenticated. But it's an interesting piece of, you know, the structure of what, how those things felt, how they were used at that point in time.
It gives you a sense of the color palette too, and not just the best you can imagine from black and white photos.
It really does. Yeah. It's a really, I will try and make a point of bringing that in here for a future episode, especially when we have another room or something like that, where we're kind of hitting back to a retro point from that era. Mm-hmm. It'd be neat to just, here, look at this.
Sure.
It's in a box somewhere. But anyway, I had some questions for this episode. Themed rooms. What would you do if you could do anything and you could pick any theme you wanted for any room in your house? Doesn't really have to go with anything and no one's going to judge you. What would you do?
I hate themed rooms.
What if you want? What if you wanted to do a themed room?
I don't know.
Jungle?
I don't know that I could come up with a theme for a room because I hate.
No.
I hate rooms where it's like, and this is the garden room.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, the what if it's room. Something that flows with the rest of the house? You know, just it doesn't have to necessarily be off the path of the house. Just, you know, what would you do? Any ideas? People's courtroom.
I would probably do at least one wall, maybe two, out of cabin. It looks like the inside of a cabin. So you've got the rough logs with the chinking in between. So it's the plaster.
Okay.
So it looks like you're in an old cabin in the hills somewhere.
Okay.
Because I love all the old cabins that we find around here. You'll find random cabins everywhere here.
Just in the woods.
Yeah. And I would just love to recreate a room that had that.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. You could almost make a whole cabin. Okay, let's go to the cabin room and have a fire. And
yeah, but I wouldn't put it full of moose decor and plaid.
No. Other people's dead animals or anything?
No, it would just be real primitive. But that's the closest I would probably get to a theme.
I had all these ideas when I was younger of how I was going to theme my rooms in my house. Granted, I was like a teenager. I'm like, oh, it'd be great. I'm going to have a woods room.
Yeah.
And I literally had this idea where I was going to get a bunch of fake trees. And my thought was like, oh, maybe in a basement area or something. Was it like a good deal of room? And a bunch of fake trees and put a bunch of like mulch in around them. So it looks like you're like walking through a little woods path. And then there would be like a little sitting area. So you can literally feel like you're out in the woods in your house. And having like a faux campfire. I don't know why I had this idea.
Well, but I'm so glad our house is out in the woods, so we don't have to have the woods in the house.
Can I just walk out the door and there you are?
Yes.
But this is one of those random ideas I had. So many interesting ideas or completely non-functional ideas I had that I'm glad I never acted on. Another great idea I had at one time when I was about 18 was to get one of those soft tub spas, you know, they're very inexpensive hot tubs.
Yeah.
They run like $200-$300 for a small one. And I always thought, oh, I could put that right in my living room.
Were you going to get inflatable furniture to go with it?
No, I just wanted a hot tub at the time and I had no money. I had a one bedroom apartment as well. And I thought, oh, well, that'll work in there. And not thinking, oh, hey, moisture, plaster. And, yeah.
That's about as good of an idea as when Kramer did it.
You're exactly right. It's right up there. But
yeah.
I was 18 as well and had no experience in anything to do with home renovation or what's practical or not practical. But just these fun, crazy ideas.
Yeah.
That I'm glad I never actually went through. I think I probably would have lost a security deposit if I had.
Maybe, had done yeah.
That. Probably yeah. A little bit more than that. So. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Confused Room. Thank you guys for watching. Thanks for your comments. Join us again next week for more spaces and more ideas. And like I said, if you have a space or place you want some advice on, send it in to us on our website, confusedroom.com. We'd love to see it and we'd love to use it on a future episode of the program. That wraps it up. Thanks for watching another episode of Confused Room.